Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 91, and the text for this morning will be Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. So let's start by reading Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We turn next to the last book of Moses, to Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 27. And we'll just read the first half of that verse, which is also our text for this morning. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, that says, "The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Now let me start this morning by telling you the story of a soldier who was, he was captured, he was sentenced to death by a firing squad. And this young man was a confessing Christian who was willing to forgive those who were about to kill him. He was at peace with God. When he was taken out of his cell to the parade ground where he was to be executed, he refused to wear a blindfold. And as the firing squad raised their rifles, he saw that a few of them, just as young as he was, were shaking. Their hands were shaking. His last words to them were, "I'm taking a few steps forward, lads. It will be easier for you that way." He didn't want them to miss their target, as it were. He was willing to come forward to help them do their job properly. But he also came forward because he was at peace with his Lord. Now these last words can make an impact, can't they? The words of the soldier probably had an impact on those who had to shoot him. Perhaps you've also heard of the final words of Augustus Toplady, that composer of that great hymn, Rock of Ages, who said, "I enjoy heaven already in my soul. My prayers are all converted to praises." Yes, final words can be inspiring. And when we read the words of our text this morning, they are certainly quite inspiring too. These are the final words of Moses, and they're designed to remind the people of Israel of just how awesome their God is. The Lord God Almighty is not just their dwelling place or their refuge, but also the one who carries them in his loving and everlasting arms. And of course, thousands of years later, these words of Moses still ring true. They are just as trustworthy today as they were all those years ago. And the beauty of it is that they don't only apply to the people of Israel. Because of the work of Christ, they apply to you and to me as well. Our text is comprised of two parts, and we're going to look at it under those two headings. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and secondly, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Firstly, then, what does it mean that God is our dwelling place or our refuge? Some of our Bibles read as follows: the eternal God is your refuge. And perhaps this is the best way of putting it, for you see, when we talk about a refuge, it means a place where we feel safe, a place where we can go and hide, a place where we can find shelter. Consider, for instance, what happens during a firestorm. When such a firestorm swept through parts of Victoria a few years ago during the Black Saturday tragedy, some sought their safety or their shelter or their refuge in those big concrete pipes, the drainage pipes that run under roads. Others left their homes and they raced to places of refuge that the government had provided. Perhaps on a slightly different note, we can think of how the so-called doomsday preppers build underground bunkers or mountain hideaways where they can go and seek shelter and protection in times of peril. In the animal world, you can perhaps think of how those super cute meerkat families dive into their burrows, their dens, to seek protection as soon as danger approaches. The mental image that we have of a place of refuge, of a refuge, is a place where we can feel safe. It's a place where we can find shelter, a place where we can find protection. It's also a place of rest. But the word refuge also means dwelling place. Yes, it is the place where you feel safe. Yes, it's the place where you feel secure and protected. But it's also the place where you live. In one word, it is home. And it's this combination of meaning that refuge or dwelling place has in this text. In Deuteronomy 33, we read the last words of Moses to the people of Israel. And that chapter begins with, "This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death." And then in the section that precedes our text, verses 2 to 26, Moses describes the blessings that the Israelites, the people, have already received. But there are some blessings that they are still to receive. And one of the most important blessings was that they would get a home, a place or a land where they could call their own, but that they would be safe and secure. You see, when Moses gave these words to the Israelites, they were still outside of the promised land. This was a homeless people. They were stateless. They were wanderers. And now as they prepare to enter the promised land, Moses shares with them beautiful words of help and of hope. And in no uncertain terms, he reminds them that their hope, their home, their refuge isn't a place, but it is God. Yes, they will have a place to settle down. Yes, they will have a home and a place of refuge, but their true refuge is the Lord their God, the creator of heaven and earth. After all, throughout their years of wandering in the desert, they experienced God's presence with them. As they traveled during the day, they could see the presence of the Lord in the guiding cloud. As darkness settled on the land, they could see God's presence with them in the pillar of light. The cloud and the pillar are symbols of God's protection from the burning desert sun in the day and the freezing temperatures at night. And that wasn't all, for he also provided food and water for them. Not only did he provide water in the desert, but also food from heaven. He gave them the essentials of life. So what Moses is doing here is reminding the Israelites that the Lord is their true home, their real dwelling place, their real refuge. And the important thing to realize is that unlike those concrete pipes into which people clamber in a firestorm, or the bunker in which the doomsday preppers hide, or the burrows into which the meerkats disappear, the Lord isn't just a temporary refuge, a short-term refuge. He's not just a refuge for a few weeks or for major crises in life. The Lord is, and he was, and he always will be, from one generation to the next, throughout all time. And that means that he is the ultimate refuge. That's why the author of the book of Lamentations, who some suggest could be the prophet Jeremiah, why he could cry out with joy, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Beloved, this is what the ancient people of God could sing, and this is what we as the people of God today can sing as well. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Father, to me, to all of us. As people of God, we can also sing with the greatest of confidence the first and the last verses of Psalm 46 that says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, God wasn't just a refuge to the Israelites in the time of Moses. He never changes. He's an eternal refuge. He's still a refuge to all of his children. Earlier in chapter 33, Moses said that the Lord will be with his people and he would not leave or forsake them. That's in verse 8, if I remember correctly. And today's people, today, God's people can still trust in that promise of the Lord, in that message. For God never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. He's the same every second of the day. But perhaps you're wondering how it is that God becomes our refuge. How can someone lay claim to that ever-present help in trouble? How does God become your fortress and your power? How can you find that overwhelming peace that comes from knowing God is your refuge? Now, despite what some proclaim today, there's only one way, and that is through Jesus. No matter how people may want to explain it away, no matter how they might want to try to say that there are many ways, Jesus says, He is the way, you are the way, they are the way. No, he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or as that wonderful song says, in Christ alone my help is found. He is my light, my strength. Jesus commands my destiny. All who believe in Jesus and give their life over to him are safe in the shadow of the Lord. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself all the punishment that your and my sins deserve. We become part of God's royal family when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. No one can know the Almighty God as their refuge unless they come to him by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. By Christ alone, God is our refuge. By faith in Jesus Christ alone, God is our refuge. And the eternal God is there for his children, now and evermore. He's a refuge for his children, now and evermore. He is our ever-present help. He is our fortress. He is our dwelling place, and he is our eternal refuge. And brothers and sisters, knowing this, knowing that God has placed faith in Jesus in our hearts, gives us an amazing assurance of where we are going. We have certainty about our destiny. Jesus not only commands our destiny, Jesus is our destiny. We have the blessed assurance that we will dwell in the house of the Lord and will eternally be in the presence of our refuge and our strength. And I pray that that really gives you an amazing sense of peace, knowing that if you are in Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, if you have accepted him as Lord and Savior because of the faith that God has placed in your heart, then you have that security, that assurance that you will dwell with him now and evermore. The second part of our text is, and underneath are the everlasting arms. After describing the Lord as our refuge in the first part of verse 27, Moses goes on to say, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, perhaps this appears to be a very plain and straightforward statement, and it is that as well. But folks, at the same time, it's also a very significant, a very powerful statement. Although this text was written well before the time of Christ, it points us to how much God cares for us. He cares so much, He loves so deeply, that He sent His Son to die for us, to make us right with God. It tells us that God, who is the ultimate refuge for those who've accepted Jesus, that God is also the same God who stretches out His loving arms towards us, to carry us. The God who created the universe is the same God who cares for you. He cares so deeply for you that He carries you, that He supports you, that He provides you for you, that He lifts you up. Now please tell me that that isn't a blessed and a wonderful assurance. Our God cares for us. He carries us. He lifts us up. He provides for us. Let me share with you a bit of a word picture of what would have happened on that on Golgotha when Jesus arrived there to be crucified. His cross would have been placed on the ground so that He could be nailed to it. Those hands which had healed the sick, which had raised the dead, were nailed to the crossbar. Jesus would have stretched out His arms and they were then nailed to that cross. And as He hung there with those outstretched arms and nailed hands, He carried the weight of our sin, my sin, your sin. You know, we sing, it was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. And that is true, of course. But it's also true that our Lord willingly carried that burden. Those loving arms, those everlasting arms, were willingly extended to be underneath our sins and to lift them up from us. Yes, beloved, even though we were His enemies, even though we are sinners, Jesus was willing to come to this forsaken earth to redeem us. He was willing to take our sin upon Himself and to carry them on our behalf. Even as He was lifted up onto that cross for our sin, His everlasting arms lifted us up before the Heavenly Father. And those same loving, those same everlasting arms still carry us today. He carries us. He supports us. He provides for us. Now perhaps there are some of us here today who have gone through difficult times. Maybe all of us. And perhaps such times have caused us to wonder where God is in our time of trouble. Perhaps you've heard others ask questions like, where is God when I'm hurting so much? Where was God when that person said all those hurtful things to me? Where was God when I was abused as a child? Where was this caring God when my wife got COVID and died? How can you say God provided for my sister when those criminals raped her? Where was God when I lost my baby? How can you say that God is carrying me when I've been diagnosed with a terminal disease? These are questions that many of us have heard. They may even be questions that some of us have asked when we've come to face to face with darkness or with evil. But this verse in Deuteronomy 33 tells us that whatever situation the believer may face, God is always there. Always caring, always carrying. His everlasting arms are always underneath us. Now perhaps I can best illustrate this with the story of Julie. Julie one night dreamt of the various events in her life, and she saw that each happy event was represented by two sets of footprints on the sand on the beach. One set for her and one for the Lord that was walking alongside her. And this comforted her greatly. But she also saw sections of that walk where there was only one set of footprints. And she realized that those were the times when she was going through difficult times in her life. And this troubled her, for to her this meant that she was going through those tough times on her own. So she asked God, why was it that when she needed him the most, he'd abandoned her, leaving her to walk on alone? Why did God leave her at those difficult times? And God's answer came, my precious child, I said I would never leave you, and I didn't. That set of footprints you see isn't yours. It's mine. They're my footprints, because I was carrying you. Friends, God is always with us, always caring and always carrying. His everlasting arms are always, without exception, always underneath us. And this passage doesn't tell us that Christians will never face pain. It doesn't tell us that believers will never be sad and never face any loss. It doesn't tell us that those who surrender their lives to Jesus will have a cloud that keeps the heat away, or a pillar of night that keeps them warm at night. It doesn't tell us that followers of Jesus will always be healthy. But it does tell us that whatever comes across our lives, our gracious, loving, merciful God will carry us through. It does tell us that no matter who else may forsake us, God will never forsake us. It does tell us that when people drop us, God's eternal arms are there to catch us, always. And it promises that no matter how hard life may get, we can trust in him. Yes, we can trust in him, because he is not only our fortress and our tower, he also keeps us in his care. There are five things that I call the dreadful D's. The first is disaster, when we face a major crisis. The second is distress, when we're anxious or worried about things that happen in our lives. Then there's despair, which, you know, when our anxiousness takes over and we just cannot see a way clear. The fourth is defeat, when we just give up trying. And lastly, there's the big D, death. And when we come across these dreadful D's, we can get despondent, another D. We might even get to see just this one set of footprints walking on that imaginary beach, and we think we're all alone in the world. But friends, the Lord of whom Moses said, and underneath are the everlasting arms, is the same Lord who in his mercy and in his love embraces those who trust in the Lord Jesus. When you are weak, when we are weak, he remains strong. When you grow weary, he will cover you. He will carry you. When he has called you his own, when he has called you his own, but you've lost your way, he will carry you back on the way to righteousness. So take comfort in knowing that because you belong to Jesus, he is your refuge. If you belong to him, his everlasting arms will always, always, always be under you to carry you. In all of life's circumstances, God's everlasting arms are underneath. Our magnificent God meets us at our time of need, in the place of our need, and he embraces us. He enfolds us in his loving arms, and he carries us in those loving arms. Yes, even when we walk through the valley of death, the shadow of death, believers are safe in the arms of Jesus. The Lord himself has given this assurance when he said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. We are indeed safe in the arms of Jesus. As the song puts it, Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. You may not have to face a firing squad when your last day comes around. I hope not. But the way in which you face that death, in fact, the way that you face life, depends very much on the way that you view God. You can have the boldness to figuratively take those few steps forward and face death with the greatest of confidence, the greatest of courage, because you know that Christ is waiting for you with outstretched arms. Those arms that have carried you all the time will be there to welcome you. And if it applies to death, applies to facing death, how much more does it apply to facing life? For folks, we know that we have a refuge where we are safe no matter what we may come up against. No matter what we may face, no matter how deep the valley is that we may go through, no matter what we experience in this broken world, whether it is disappointment or despair, discrimination, persecution, illness or hurt, or grief, our God is indeed ever present. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ ended his life with the words, "It is finished." What wonderfully inspiring words that is for us as sinners. It is finished. Everything that had to be done to save us has been done. It is finished. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. The work of Christ is finished. And now we are children of God and co-heirs with Christ. And because we are children of God, we have that blessed assurance that he who was and who is to come will always, always be with us and guide us. We have this glorious assurance that we are indeed carried in the arms of grace and love divine, the arms of the Almighty God, who is our refuge, our fortress, and our God in whom we can trust. What a magnificent God we have. Praise be to his holy name. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for that wonderful assurance that we can have that we belong to you, and that because we belong to you, you are our refuge, you are our dwelling place, and that you will always carry us in your arms of grace and love divine. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not have your assurance, this assurance that you've given us, we pray that through your Holy Spirit you will so work in their hearts that they too can know that they are safe in your arms. In the name of Jesus, the one, the only one, through whom we can have eternal life, we pray. Amen.